Welcome back to the Real Expat Wives of Arabia. As I'm sitting here trying to get my space ready, burning some sage and clearing out my area for my next guest, I'm in a rush because so here at where we are, if you have maintenance issues, there is a phone number you call and they come and fix your whatever it is. And so there was some leakage in the garage storage closet. I could tell there was some water leakage. So my husband loves it because you can just call this phone number and they show up. My husband's not handy. He absolutely loves that we just call this number. They come up, they pay, they fix it. We don't pay anything, by the way. Now these maintenance men are these workers, and I guess you could call them labor workers. They are in generally from either India or Sri Lanka or perhaps Bangladesh sometimes as well. Some of them are Pakistani. Some of them are actually even Saudi. But it seems that most of the work here is done by expats, mainly from India or Bangladesh. So anyways, their skills obviously are different. Their background of how they were technically trained is different than from the US. So sometimes it's a little bit question. Now, I am no plumber, but when they showed up, and of course when they show up, they don't have sometimes their own supplies. And so they're either running back and forth because when you make the phone call, they're not the person you talk to. So when they show up, they just have kind of like an idea of what they're there for. They usually come in and look at it and they have to like run back out either to get the supplies they need, and or they're using your ladder that they see in the garage, or they're asking sometimes for tools that you may have on hand for them to just kind of do what they need to do. So anyways, I'm no expert, but apparently this leak is not a huge, it wasn't like water was rushing out in a waterfall type manner. It was just like a slow leak, and I could tell because some paint and part of the ceiling was kind of dipping down. So he comes in and just slaps, he opens up the attic part, whatever, to see where the pipes are, and he slaps like this silly putty stuff onto the piping, and it looks like literally like green silly putty. So he says, oh, just let it dry. Don't use your master bathtub today. You can use it tomorrow, but it's just like, let that dry. And I still have to call and make another ticket for painting and carpentry to actually fix like this aesthetic part of the ceiling, because each ticket you put in has to be like for a separate. So like that was just for plumbing. At least I got that fixed. And so the other thing when these guys come is they leave a mess. And you have to always like broom, sweep that up. You know, like there is like a huge mess. Anyways, I was rushing trying to sweep up all that stuff that's like all the paint and like part of like sometimes drywall is like, it's like all on the floor. So I was trying to sweep that up real quick. And I wanted to just give a little insight to our maintenance situation here. Whenever we have a problem, good part is we call up this number. It's everything's taken care of. We don't ever get charged. Bad part is you just never know like what you're gonna get and or if it has been fixed correctly or in a proper way. So a lot of times I feel like it's just a band-aid put on until the next big catastrophe happens, and that's okay, because you know what, we don't own these houses and we are gifted a very decent home for a decent price. And so I just try not to complain and go with the flow and just laugh about it. I'm sure there are some very good stories about maintenance coming into the homes, and surely some of these guests that I have are going to touch on some of that at some point. So my next guest is Megan from Scotland, and I met her, funny story, in a Bedouin tent. I'm just going to leave it at that. We were in a Bedouin tent out in the desert, and that is when I first met Megan. I'm gonna let her tell more of that story and get into more of that when she comes on. Again, my name's Kimberly Houghton. I am an expat wife in Arabia here of 7 years, and welcome to the show once again, and my new guest, Megan.
Hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear
Okay, great. Awesome.
you.
don't be nervous. This is totally fine. Totally fine.
Yeah, it'll be good.
So what I'd like to do first is just you introduce who you are, who you
Okay.
are, your age, where you're from.
Cool. Okay, well, I am Megan Tate. I am 33 and from just outside of Glasgow in Scotland.
Awesome. I've never been to Scotland, but
Oh,
if
you're
you,
missing out.
I know I'm dying to get there. I was telling you how I was watching. Didn't I tell you about I was watching that show, The Outlander? And
Yep.
it's like, okay, yeah. So it has a lot to do with Scotland from like the 1700s, and so even more so, I'm like, gosh, I gotta get to Scotland.
You do. It's beautiful.
I bet, especially summertime, right?
Well, yeah, in between the rain, we do get some sunny days.
Oh, so it rains a lot in summer.
It just rains a lot most of the time, to be honest.
Well, that's why it's so lush and green.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Gotcha. Okay, so how old are you, Megan?
I'm 33.
33,
Yep.
and hubby is
He's 35, almost 36, but he doesn't like to be reminded of that.
So you guys, I think, are like one of the youngest couples
Yeah.
that I know on camp because
We're
we
definitely one of the youngest that we're aware of. I mean, when we came here, I was only 25.
Right.
So, yeah, we're definitely one of the youngest that we know of.
Gosh, I cannot imagine if I came here at 25 years old. So when I came here, Dave was 36 and I was like your age now. I think I was, geez, how old? Okay, if he was 36, I was 32 and I'm now 39. Yeah, that makes sense because we've both been here about the same time. We both got here like 7 years ago.
Yep.
And
Yep, same
I
time.
was in my intro, I was like getting a little into how we actually first met, which is so funny because we were in the desert at like a Bedouin tent
Yes.
deal.
Yes.
Those times when you're just like in the desert in a Bedouin tent, ha ha, wink, wink. Like,
Yeah.
you know,
God, that
so
seems like a lifetime ago now.
I know. So I will never forget that though. We met. There was this security guard who was a Saudi, and he had like a farm not too far from camp, and he offered expats to come and experience the whole like deal. And he, I don't even think he charged us. He should have.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, so he would have like the whole like tent set up with the pillows and the couches, and he would he made the lamb that he served with the rice, like the traditional
Oh yeah.
Hamsa plate. It was like the tabbouleh salad and then the teas and the dates. And I think there was a bonfire outside for the
Yep.
kids. And at the time, not Olivia. Yeah, Olivia.
Olivia,
She
yep.
was like, how old was she? She was like,
She must have been about five, I think.
yeah, okay. And then you were not pregnant yet with Penelope. No. Or were you?
You know what? I think I was pregnant. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And then, so I remember meeting you and your hubby, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this couple is so sweet and they're so young. They have Olivia who's five. So that means you had Olivia at like 20.
21. Yep.
Yeah. Same age as when I had Abigail. So, and then you guys were telling me when you came from Scotland, they put you into the temporary housing right away,
Yeah,
wherever.
so what happened was at interview, we were told that essentially the compound was full and there was absolutely no
Space.
wiggle room on that.
Yeah.
So we were shown a couple of various options and told the one that we would most likely be placed in. So it wasn't a shock for us. Like I know some people when they came weren't actually fully informed about where they were going to be living.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, but we knew we had like the full disclosure. We weren't obviously completely aware because pictures can be very deceiving. But we did know that it wouldn't be on compound, so we were prepared for that. We lived there for 8 months before the fire happened.
Okay, so so if anyone listening wants to look up, I don't even know because they were, of course, very hush hush about
Yep.
the details of the fire. But apparently, the building wasn't up to code and something happened, right? Like in the garage part of it.
Yes, I've got to be very careful about what I say.
Of course, yeah.
I have signed
Non-disclosure.
yes, basically. But the information that I can share that I think is pretty much public knowledge is that it was an electrical fire in the basement. The basement is actually where a lot of cars were kept. That was the parking garage. So it happened on a Sunday, which meant that everyone's cars were fueled for the week at work. So that kind of compounded how like things got worse so rapidly because the cars were obviously all full of fuel. One went up, the next one went up, and it just kind of snowballed
Oh
from
my
there.
gosh.
So yeah, that's kind of why it got as bad as it did, I think,
And then
because there were so many cars.
was y'all's car in there or no?
We didn't have a car because my husband, Kostrun, worked like an hour away. He had to get the bus to work. There was
Right.
a bus schedule that ran, so we didn't get a car. We actually didn't get a car here, believe it or not, until almost a year after Penelope was born. We didn't really feel the need for one. Also, I think we kept a house and a car back home,
Of course.
and we were very reluctant because we didn't know how long we were going to be here. And buying a
Sure.
car is such a big commitment. So we really put that off for quite a long time. But once Penelope came, we were like, okay, we really need a car, becoming
Yeah.
ridiculous. So
Yeah, it's common.
thankfully, we did not have a car in the basement, so we were not affected in that way.
And so, yeah, thank God. And then, of course, you guys made it out safely, and you were able to get out. I mean, did you smell the smoke? Like, how, like,
Okay, again, I've got to be careful with what I
were
say.
yeah.
But
So, like, it's
basically,
happening. You're at home and it's happening. Like, you're at home and it's happening.
we discovered the fire. My husband and I were the ones that reported it in the first instance. He went to leave for work and noticed that there was like a haze in the hallway. Now, for people that live in the Middle East, haze, it's like a haze that you get when there's a shamal and a sandstorm. The only difference was this wasn't sand, it was smoke. So he could smell it. We were actually in bed because it was 5 a.m.
Oh
He
my gosh.
came and woke me up and, told me, you need to get up and get out of bed like right now. I think there's something on fire.
Oh my gosh.
And it just kind of snowballed from there. He went
Okay.
downstairs, alerted security, came back up, managed to get myself and Olivia. We got downstairs. By the time, I mean, that was only minutes. And by the time he came back to get us, you couldn't see the door, the
Oh
exit.
my
It was
gosh.
just thick black smoke. And you just had to go on well, my husband said, the door is open. I left it open. Just run straight ahead. It's open because you couldn't even see it. We didn't have anything. We just had to, blind faith, just run through the smoke and hope that the door was there and it was open.
Wow.
And then
Oh
we
my
were
God.
outside and made phone calls to friends that we were still inside because, it was like 5:30 in the morning and everyone was
Sure.
asleep.
Yeah, and it's like you're not thinking, let me go and run on every knock on every door. Like, I need to
No.
get my pregnant self and my daughter out of here now. Guys, because you guys just went through so much, I feel like, when you first got here. Like, never mind you being so young and your children so young. And one on the way, and then you ended up getting housing after that whole like trauma, I guess. Because I mean, I know a lot of people that were actually in that situation, and they made it out just fine. Now, I don't know about belongings and whatnot, but you know, thankfully, I know many people that made it out and they were fine.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord
yeah,
for that.
We have no complaints there. You know, we were very lucky. We got out absolutely fine. Obviously, the psychological side of it still there. Yeah. But, you know, we are healthy. We made it out unharmed. A lot of our belongings were damaged, but most of them were okay, unlike others who lost absolutely every single thing that they had. Yeah, we were fortunate. There's no real, you know, oh, woe is us there, because we definitely, we were very fortunate. We're very, very fortunate.
Yes, but, and then after you had, so then you made your way onto, like, the compound, where you had several temporary homes, I think, from that point, because they found you guys a temp place that was not like a true family house.
Yeah.
And then so you've just been through a lot of transition.
We've moved house more times than I like to remember. After the fire, we went to a hotel for 2 weeks, then eventually we moved on camp. And we were given a temporary house, which was temporary for like a year and a half. And then it was at that point that I got pregnant with Penelope. And they couldn't keep us in that temporary house anymore because it wasn't a proper house and it wasn't big enough to hold another child. So at that point, we moved to our other home, and that's the one we were in for 5 years until January this year when we moved again.
Yeah, and I love you. What's so great about being on the company's designated camp is because of other electrical fires and this and that have happened throughout the years, they've started this entire conversion project, which the homes were traditionally built with 110 plugging and electrical because it was Americans that built the homes. So then everyone that came over here from the US, which is strange because there's so many other people that work here that aren't American. So everyone else from other parts of the world also have 220 appliances, right? Yeah. So I guess if you're American and you're shipping your stuff over here,
it's perfect.
You can like have your 110 fridge and 110 washer and dryer, which I mean, we personally didn't bring any of that. We just brought like clothes and toys for our kids. But when you move here, you have 110 plugs and there's no stores here with 110 appliances.
Nope.
So then you have to buy 220 appliances and like use a converter, which is not very safe.
Or use like a really, really, really long extension cord with loads of plugs on it to plug it into that 1220 socket that you've got.
You know what I mean? And so this, now we've got this huge project underway where people are having to move out of their 110 homes and they're undergoing rewiring everything to 220. I just don't even know why they didn't do 220 to start with, but that's where it's at. So we could be safer because finally the company said enough is enough. We need to like fix this and get it right. And it's a huge headache because people have been in some of these homes now for 10, 12 years and now they've got to up and move, you know, to get their house converted. And then most people end up like, we moved into this house for the conversion and we are not moving because this one's already converted. So I'm like, I'm good. I'm not moving.
Yeah, we're going to have to move again because this house is not converted.
I know.
But it's okay. Hopefully it's still a little while away. So we'll see.
You guys are such good sports. I swear to y'all are so flexible. And that was just one of the things I remember when I first met you. I was like, holy cow, they have been through so much. And they're like so not bitter. And they're so not exactly woe is me or victimized. Like you guys were just... And because I'll tell you this, because I had a lot of other people that I knew that were American, okay? And they were like bitching, right? And I'm like, okay, wait a second. First of all, you got priority to be on compound.
I'll swap with you if you like.
You know what I'm saying? And then Like, so what did you have to do for school for Olivia when you weren't on compound?
Okay, so the compound that we were in had like a little nursery thing. So when we came, Olivia was 3. She turned 4 just like the month after we got here. So she wasn't really in school yet. But the day of the fire was actually the first week of school. So she was supposed to go on a bus to school but then that obviously changed because we then ended up on compound. So she ended up on compound, so it didn't really affect her, thankfully.
Does she remember any of that?
Yes, unfortunately, she remembers a lot of it.
Oh, wow.
She doesn't remember a lot of actually
Right.
living there.
Right.
She remembers bits and pieces, you know, but
Yeah.
for the most part, what she remembers is that day.
Right. I bet. Coming to Saudi, like, who were you? Like, what did you do? I mean, you guys obviously met very young, got married very young, had kids. But what did you, who was Megan? Who was Megan prior?
Struan and I met when I was 18. Got married when I was 20. Had Olivia at 21. Worked for a major bank, and I was an analyst, like resource planner for them. And Struan was doing a very similar job to what he does now. He's an instrument and electrical control technician. And that was it. It was just day to day. And we decided to come here simply because there was a lot of just trouble with the company that he worked for. They wanted to change the pension plan. They wanted to change contracts, basically taking away a lot of the things that made the job there what it was, you know, why it was desirable. So he had actually applied for the job here, but we didn't hear anything about it. And at the time, the company told you if you didn't hear anything within 3 months to reapply because you hadn't been successful, or you know, they hadn't seen your application because whatever reason. So that was in the October, and we never heard anything. And within that time, Struan actually got a promotion to a different position, which was more money, and it was supposed to be better, like working hours. We went for it. It was still within the same company. Nothing had to change, so we were quite happy. Then in May, the company came back to us with an offer, a job offer, and asked, well, not an offer as such, but said that they were interested and could he come for an interview because they were, you know, they wanted to offer him a position. Going from October to May, thinking absolutely nothing was going to happen, to then being like, can you next week for an interview? Did it. He was offered a job, but unfortunately, he was only offered to come as a bachelor. And he declined. He was then offered more money and more holidays, and he still declined. They then offered, because again, at this time, he had just been promoted, so he had a better position than what, you know, than what he had at the time when he actually applied for the job. So then eventually we were offered a family position, but we were offered it on the other side of Arabia, over in Jeddah. But we declined because there was no company compounds or schools or anything on that side. And when you are young, with a young child, making the jump is big enough, but making the no company support as such was just a firm no. So this just kind of went on for months, you know, back living in the Middle East, you don't realize how dirty everything is because of the dust. It's not that the store is, you know, seedy or weird or like, oh, don't go in there. It's just impossible to keep the storefront clean. It's so dusty, it's so sandy, it's not possible. But you can imagine, like, you go from the glitz and glam of Dubai to landing here, and it was a complete culture shock. And I remember driving to the compound and thinking, What is this place? What have we done? Because everything just looks so polar opposite to anything you've ever been used to before. It just looks so daunting and so scary.
Unfamiliar, very
Yes.
unfamiliar. Yeah. Wow. That's cool. But at least you guys got that chance to get to Dubai, because we hadn't done Dubai until after we had landed here.
Yeah, it was a good experience. I mean, obviously we knew that it wasn't going to be quite the same, and we did try when we were there to go like to old Dubai, not the glitz and glam, but try to go a little bit more authentic to see more realistically what it would be like. I mean, it still wasn't quite the same, but
Right.
we did try. Obviously, in our naivety, didn't realize that it really wasn't going to be anything similar, but
Yeah,
at least we tried.
I would say Saudi Arabia is definitely on its own in a lot of ways.
It's a
Like
unique place.
they were the only country still that wasn't letting women drive. They were the only country still that had closing for the five prayer times. They were the only country still that, I mean, when it comes to Ramadan, it's like even if you don't practice, it's almost like you're forced to because it's very, very traditional. And they pride themselves on being so because of, Mecca being here, and like they feel like
That
that
is the holy land for them.
they're the whole, yeah, it's like the Israel for the Christians, right? So it's definitely on its own. Now things have changed so much since I've been here. Thank goodness. But in terms of like I think the biggest thing for me was not having equal opportunity for job opportunity, like for me to work. That was like a huge adjustment. And
First,
so
I really liked not having to work.
right.
You know,
Yeah, of
but
course.
that novelty, that's the thing that I don't think people can fully appreciate until you are in that situation. That novelty wears off very quickly. You know, it sounds great at the time. Oh my God, yeah, like I'm going to be retired at 25. And then that novelty wears off when you're just like sitting at home and you're like, okay.
So like, yeah, and so in terms of if you care to share what you've picked up recently, if you care to share what you're doing, which is I think is so awesome and great, and I've actually been able to get partake in that. So if you want to share what you just,
Well,
yeah.
I've went through a little bit of a transition in the last year. I have, and you know, I think we spoke about it a little bit, but really a lot of it is to do with is come around. Those friendships broke down and it really left me desolate. It felt like a death. I didn't understand because you become, as I say, so reliant, or at least I did, became so reliant on these people here because they were all that you had and you didn't
Right.
have anything else. So you were waiting for that phone call every weekend or, you know, during the day to go for coffee or to hang out or to do something. When those friendships broke down for me, it took a really long time for me to say, okay, what am I going to do? Because I don't have that anymore and I can't just sit here.
Right.
And that's when I decided that I was going to go back to university and study
Yeah.
because I needed to do something for myself that didn't
Yeah.
rely upon other people
Of course.
to do it. So I started studying forensic psychology at university. I'm almost finished my first year. And
Yay!
then, yeah, thank goodness. And then later on in the year, so like towards Christmas time last year, I decided to go and train as an eyelash technician. That
Yeah, baby.
now I'm qualified to do eyelash extension and tint. And you know, there's more to come. I've got other things lined up in the next few months, but it's been great because anything beauty related in my life, especially going from a job like in a bank where it was like quite
Right.
analytical, I never
Right.
dreamed of it, but it's actually been really satisfying,
I
really
love it.
rewarding, and I've met loads of new people because I've done it.
Right.
So it's actually been great, and it's such a good way to feel, you know, what I was talking about, that self-worth, that self-importance, that
Of course.
I'm busy, you know, I have things to do, I don't need to be concerned about who's at, FOMO, fear of missing out. I don't need to be concerned about who is doing something or who's not invited me, or am I coffee with someone, or I don't need to worry about that. I have so much
Right.
that's busy for myself that I don't feel that anymore, and I'm so much happier now. It's taken me 2 years to get here, but I'm so much happier now than I was then.
I love it. I love that. And it's so great because like I was able to reach out and be like, "Girl, this is so awesome." And you're like, "Yeah." And so I actually went and got my mind done, me and my daughter, and I meant, it's like one stepping stone leads to the other stepping stone, and then those unfortunate things that happen lead to the rebirth of a new, like the death and the rebirth of
Oh yeah, for sure. It
your
definitely was like
past.
that.
So
Definitely
it's
was
just
like that.
wonderful.
It did genuinely. That's the only way I can describe it, because you're grieving something. You were so like, that's what I mean by like a pressure cooker. When you're here, everything is so much more intense. I mean, you don't live like this in the normal life back home. You don't live like this. You don't live next door to your friends who also don't go to work. You don't live like this normally, so it's such, no one can ever understand it unless they've lived it. And it's not negative. There's so many great things about living like that, like having a sense of community, having a sense of like, no matter what you need, someone will, drop everything to come and help you. It's really a great place to live. But I think that also you really have to be strong in your own mindset
Yes,
and
come on.
not
There it is.
rely on a, be happy with yourself and
That's
be
right.
happy with what you're doing before you
Exactly.
look to other people to make you happy.
That is a beautiful, beautiful message. Yeah, for sure. I think people just stopped inviting me because I never showed up. No, I'm kidding. I mean, I could have my own little rant on like 20 minute of my own experience with all that. And I don't even know how to verbalize it. I've just like my entire life, I've always been that girl that could be on her own. And then yet, like I almost like a chameleon, like I could just jump from like click to click, like in high school. Like, so in high school at lunchtime, everyone had their cliques, and I would just like jump from click to click in my lunch hour. And then I would take my alone time and go sit outside by myself for the rest of the lunch hour because I needed. And so I've always kind of, and I'm not saying I am like this fully evolved being because I'm like totally under construction and like evolving constantly, but I have always had a really good sense of how to separate myself and kind of cut that cord, and but at the same time still be able to, if I needed to be in a social situation, like kind of adapt to that. So I'm grateful that I had that prior to coming to a situation like this because you said it just so perfectly and so beautifully, and I'm sorry you had to go through that, but that's what led you to this point. And I am so loving this Megan and loving where she's at, and still so much more to come. And you know what I'm saying? Like, you just, it's lessons, baby. It is so lessons. So, after, okay, so being here, what other countries have you guys been to since you have been here? Like, where have you guys been?
So we have been to Sri Lanka. I know that's a firm favorite of yourself.
Oh, I love that place.
We did Sri Lanka, which
Yes.
was an incredible experience. It's somewhere that if we were back home, we would never, ever
Exactly.
have visited. So that was incredible. Even just things like Abu Dhabi, we would never have flown to come to Abu Dhabi. You would have flown maybe to go to Dubai,
Of
but not
course.
Abu Dhabi.
I think of Abu Dhabi is so much better than Dubai,
It's
in my opinion.
incredible.
I
It's
love Abu
incredible.
Dhabi. Yeah.
Even Bahrain, like we would
Right.
never have flown to come there, but that's a weekly staple to go there, like be there and have a bit of freedom.
Right. Thank God for
Yes,
Bahrain.
thank God for Bahrain.
Oh my
We've been to Italy. We went to Rome. We did Florida, obviously, for we've also been to LA. We did Coachella there. I know.
I love it.
Just you know, Coachella. And the most recent thing that we've done that I think will be very difficult to ever top in our lifetime was 2 weeks in the Maldives.
Oh, yes. Oh my goodness. 2 weeks.
Yes.
Oh my God.
It was the most incredible experience. It had been on our bucket list since we were, you know, since you first meet and you say, these are the places I'd love to visit in the world. And yeah, that was one of them. And being able to tick that.
Our list is so long. I don't, it's like, it just keeps going. So would you say the Maldives was your favorite out of all of them? Or it's hard to pick, probably. I know.
No, it is hard to pick. Each place has uniquely different things that would take me back. But the Maldives for me was just otherworldly, you know. It was just something so exquisite and so different from anything else that I think we'll ever do again, that I don't think anything else could compare.
Yeah, I think for me, that trip, we did an entire 3 weeks in Bali, and we kind of went like all throughout Bali and actually over to the next island called Lombok. I would say that Bali trip for us was something we all never forget. It was like unbelievable. So the next question I wanted to ask you was, so for COVID, how is that, like, if you could say how COVID had affected you guys, or did it not, or like, how was that for you guys?
COVID was tough. That first year, I think everyone was in the same boat. We were stuck here. We couldn't go anywhere. The first few months, it was okay. You know, Struan had a bit of time off work as well because of various things happening. The kids were off, and it was nice to spend some quality family time that we will probably never get again.
Right.
You know, but I suffer from anxiety disorder, and as the months went on and it became very apparent that there was no real end in sight, I started to struggle quite a lot with, I just felt trapped. I hate to feel trapped, and I hate to feel like I'm not in control. I like to plan things. I like to have things nicely tied up with a little bow, and I know what I'm doing, where I'm going. That just the uncertainty of COVID threw me. I found it really, really difficult. I mean, for everyone, homeschooling was tough as well.
Mm.
You know, it was really, really difficult, but we were so fortunate because that first year, obviously, we were stuck here, but at Christmas time that year, we managed to get out and get
right.
And then we managed to get out again last summer and again at Christmas. So really, it was just that one year where we were kind of stuck and we couldn't do anything. I mean, it's affected everyone in different ways, and in many cases it's affected people in the exact same ways. But for us, that first year was really tough, as it was for everyone, but for especially with anxiety and not being able to have any sort of plan. You couldn't plan anything.
Right.
You couldn't even plan with the mall next week, because you just didn't even know if everything was going to be shut down again, or what restrictions were going to be in place. And I found that really, really very difficult at the time.
Yeah. Well, we are definitely on the other side of that, thank God.
Yes, thank God.
What, if you could say, is your favorite thing about, what is your least favorite thing, and what's your most favorite thing about the Middle East or being here in Arabia?
Oh, okay. So my least favorite thing.
You're like, that's a long list.
That, hold on a minute. Do you have another hour? I think my least favorite thing there's leaps and bounds, but I think the way that I'm taken as seriously as my husband with everything, you know, if I'm trying to arrange something or do something, they still look at me as if, you don't know what you're talking about. Let me speak to your husband. He'll know what to do. That still frustrates me, and it's from the basic things to the big things. Things are getting better, things are changing, but that is still one of my biggest frustrations. Again, from an organization point of view, I like to be in control. I like to have things done. And if I'm relying on my husband having to do these things because I can't, it becomes frustrating because we just are different people and he deals with things in a different way. Whereas I like to get things done instantly so that it's done, no messing around. He obviously has different priorities because he's working.
Yeah.
So that for me is a big thing that frustrates me. Yeah. And that's still my least favorite thing. My favorite thing, just the freedom that this lifestyle provides.
Right.
You know, the opportunities that I've had, the opportunities that my kids have.
Right.
Freedom to be kids longer here. They stay so much more innocent and so much more... And, you know, that again, that has pros and cons, but for the most part... Right. I really think that innocence that they maintain here, they get to be children for longer.
Yes.
The experiences and the lifestyle that they have here and that they are afforded here, there's no comparison for, you know, there's no competition for that.
Right.
So that's like my favorite thing about being here.
Agreed. Agreed. So definitely you would say no regrets, right? No regrets.
No.
Yeah.
No regrets about coming here at all.
And then
I'm sure we had times where we thought, what have we, like, why are we here? Everyone has that. But I think that's true of everyone in any position. You could be back home in a job that you hate, or, you know, a town that you hate living in, or a street that you hate being part of. Of course, there's always going to be things that you dislike. But no, we don't have any regrets about coming here. Definitely.
Give one piece of advice for someone about to move here, what would you say to them or what would you tell them?
Be open-minded. Open-minded and open to everything. Don't restrict yourself. Be aware of, you know, the finer details of what you can and can't do, but don't come here with a closed mindset that, oh, it's what you've read on the news, or it's totally different from that. Be open to every experience that's offered to you here, because there's so many things to do, so many things to see, and so many people to meet. The people here are so warm and so generous and welcoming.
They really are.
You know, of course you get assholes. You get assholes everywhere.
That's right.
I mean, you know, you're going to get that. Doesn't matter where you are. So, you know, people that are here are assholes, and they're not even from here. So, you know, it doesn't make a difference. You're going to get that anywhere. Just be open minded. It's not the horror stories that you hear. It's so much more than that. Yeah. Every place has its horror stories. Every place has its bad bits. No place in the world is exempt from that.
Right.
Same. Be open-minded to the great things that they've got to offer.
Yeah, I love that. We are almost, we're about like 15 minutes in here. So I'm going to just do quick, you know what like rapid fire is?
Yep.
So, okay. I'm just going to do quick rapid fire for a few questions. And then for you, what's better, morning or evening?
Evening.
Are salty or sweet?
Sweet.
You're like both. A night out or a night in?
Depends on the company and what we're doing.
Are you more introvert or extrovert?
Extrovert, I think.
Physical strength or mental strength?
Mental.
Money or happiness?
Happiness.
Summer or winter?
Winter.
Are you more of a thinker or a doer?
Probably a doer. Oh, I don't know, actually thinker, because I overthink everything. But then I just can't wait and I just do things anyway. So probably a bit of both.
Would you rather travel to the past or to the future?
To the past.
I know, right? That's a tough one, though. Expensive presents or homemade presents? Shoot,
expensive presents.
That's a no-brainer. Oh. No, I'm kidding.
No, it really is a no-brainer. It's okay.
Right. I mean, it's like, I remember there's been some times in our marriage where we were just like so tight with finances, and my husband would get really creative, and that I was like really appreciative because he would just come up with something homemade, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and
But.
don't get me wrong, I love that. I mean, we've had occasions where like that, we've had to, we're buying a house or things, and we just couldn't do it. And it's not about how much it costs; it's the thought behind it. I really appreciate things like that,
Yeah, for
but I like a
sure.
little bit of something. So.
Okay, so when you're out and about, like in the real Saudi off our camp,
Yep.
is it are you driving or is hubby driving?
He's driving.
Interesting.
I only passed my actual driving test just before I turned 30. So I am not an experienced, well, for, I'm not an
Gotcha.
overly experienced driver, so I'm not quite there yet.
Gotcha. Do you use any Arabic words when you're out and about?
Yes.
Yeah. So are you saying shukran?
Yep,
And
shukran, yalla. Imshi, like all that sort of stuff, usually the kids.
yeah, okay. And then do you prefer Bahrain or Dammam Airport?
Honestly, the new Bahrain airport is incredible.
Oh, there's a new one? Like
Oh
a new
yeah.
section?
Oh no, a whole new airport.
Oh, wow. I didn't know
It
that.
is huge. It's very similar to parts of Dubai Airport.
Oh,
But yeah,
okay.
it's they have gone glam. It's
Well,
very
good. They needed it because that
yeah.
other airport was terrible.
But for obviously for ease, Dammam Airport, you can't beat it. But for the aesthetic and you can go into the lounge and have a little bit of a glass and things. Yeah, Bahrain Airport's nice.
Wow. When
Very
did
nice.
they finish that? I didn't even know
I'm
they
not
were.
sure, but we went through it. Two Christmases ago, that first Christmas that we got out after COVID, we went
Look,
through that airport.
we have not been to Bahrain. Like we have just scheduled for Eid a few nights there because it's finally like no PCR and no stress. But we have not been there in probably 3 years. Yeah. So I have there.
No, they're new.
Abaya, abaya or no abaya?
No Abaya.
Really?
None.
Awesome.
No, I don't remember the last time I wore an abaya. It was at least 3 years ago.
That's awesome. So when you get stares, do you stare right back at them or
Yep.
do you ignore it?
Nope, right in the eye.
Yeah, me too. Awesome. Megan, thank you so much. I
Thank
am
you.
so glad that you were like, I know you were nervous. It wasn't
Yeah,
that bad, right?
a little bit, because you just kind of like feel like you might start rambling and just saying absolute nonsense. So,
No, I love the Scottish accent, so I just
oh,
love to hear you talk
yeah.
anyways.
Well, I appreciate that because most Scottish people tell you they hate listening to their accent.
I love it. No, I love it. I mean, when you come from America, it's like I love it. I love the British, the Scottish. I love the Australian accent. I was
Yeah.
hoping I could get my over here. She's Australian. She's Lebanese, but like she's all just grew up in Australia. Just love listening to her talk. So I just get people on here so I can hear them talk. Honestly, it's just so good to hear people talk and like. I don't know any other city, like you said, like with your lashes, people come in and like you get to share and conversate, right? So it's a way to just to kind of get to know people. And I'm so appreciative of you being willing. And then this is going to help people in ways you don't even know. And the ripple effect will go like way beyond, your storyline. So thank you so much. I appreciate you sharing and being vulnerable. And yeah, I'll see
Thank
you at my
you.
next lash appointment.
Yes, you will. Thank you.
Thanks, Megan.
Bye.
Bye.